Shalom, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Mormon Kabbalah Podcast. Welcome to episode 5. Today we're going to start in 1 Nephi 115 RAV 116A OPV. And for those that are new to the podcast, RAV is the Community of Christ edition, or Reorganized, or RLDS, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And OPV is the Orson Pratt version. That is the version created by the Brighamite Utah Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. These are the two most commonly used versions of the Book of Mormon. And the RAV goes first because as we move forward, we will discover that the RAV follows the original chapters of the Book of Mormon, whereas the Brighamite Latter-day Saints have restructured the chapters and verses. But before we get into that, a little bit of house cleaning. Last week I was looking at the number of listeners that we have according to the information provided to me by Buzzsprout, and they're saying we have over 40 listeners, which I think is a really good start. So I want to say thank you to those that are subscribing. Thank you to those that are listening regularly. And to those that are joining us for the first time, welcome. And thank you for checking us out. We're in episode 5. We've got some regular listeners. That's always a plus. So I want to say at the forefront of this that the Lord has really presented an opportunity to create this podcast right now. It will get more difficult as time goes by, however, if we do not have some people helping out by giving reviews, by helping out financially. I normally talk about this at the end of the episode. This is a labor of love, and it does require love to continue in this labor. I know a lot of Latter-day Saints are used to this idea that everything should be free because the denomination they go to is wealthy enough that they can provide things at no cost to members. But this isn't a church. There are no tithes. There are no denominations that are chipping in to pay for this. So I just want to point out that if all of our regular listeners just gave, say, $5 a month, that would be enough to cover a lot of the costs. If they were to give $20 a month, that would allow for expansion and for more opportunities for the podcast to grow. And both of these amounts and anything in between are still far less than a dollar a day. Every little bit helps. And if you can't afford to give anything, that's fine. I completely understand and respect that. Please take the time to write a review. Give us the amount of stars. We would appreciate 5 stars, but give us the amount of stars that you feel that we deserve. The more that you interact with us, the more people that will have the opportunity to hear this podcast. And really, the point of this podcast isn't me trying to tell you how smart I am or how much I know. The point of this is to dive deeper into the Book of Mormon so that we, as a people, as Latter-day Saints, regardless of denomination, can grow closer to Jesus Christ. The Book of Mormon was given to us for one reason and one reason only, and that's to bring souls to Christ, not to a church, not to a group of people, but to Jesus Christ. And from there, the Holy Spirit will tell us where we need to be. And podcasts like this help reach people in a non-denominational way that doesn't push people towards a particular Latter-day Saint movement, but allows us as a movement an opportunity to grow closer to Jesus Christ together. So if you support this idea, if you support what we're doing here at this podcast, please do what you can to help out. Moving forward, I will save this for the end, but I wanted to throw this out at the beginning at this point because this needs to be a group effort. This can't just be me talking to you. It needs to be us talking to each other. It needs to be us working together. The more financial freedom we have as a podcast, the more opportunities we have for the podcast to grow, and that's more you can get out of it. So back to the Book of Mormon. We are in 1 Nephi, and starting in chapter 1, verse 15, RAV, chapter 1, verse 16a in the OPV, Nephi says, "And now I, Nephi, do not make a full account of the things which my father hath written, for he hath written many things which he saw in visions and dreams." Now that kind of depresses me, because I'd really like to learn more about Lehi's visions and dreams. I really enjoyed, in the previous podcasts, going over his visions and revelations and comparing them to Old Testament prophets like Isaiah and Ezekiel. And unfortunately, until we receive the lost 116 pages, someone retranslates the book of Lehi, we won't see any of that. So moving on, in 16a and 16b, "And he also hath written many things which he prophesied and spake unto his children, of which I shall not make a full account." So now we're talking about private things. Now, let's talk about this internally. Let's look at this. Let's look at the Lehi, the I Am Lehi. Our desires, our righteous desires, this is dividing them into two different areas. We have the personal revelations, and we have the prophecies and revelations that are external, that are for our families, for our friends. Now, I know in some Latter-day Saint denominations, they frown on the idea of having a revelation from anyone that's not in your quote-unquote jurisdiction. But that doesn't mean we don't receive them and we can't act upon them, even if we're taught in our particular denominations not to share them. I personally say follow the Spirit. If the Spirit says, "Hey, I need to tell you this," send it up to them. Let the Spirit testify to that person what they need to say. But we're looking at this from the Kabbalistic point of view. We're looking at this internally. So from this perspective, we're saying there are some things that the Lord gives us in dreams and visions and revelations and inspirations that are for us in the desire that would be Lehi or whichever desire we're looking at that point. But then there's also ones that will affect other desires. We're talking about other desires born within ourselves. So the descendants, if you will, of the desires that are Lehi and Sariah, for example. Also, the desires that are the descendants of Adam and Eve. So, for example, if I have a revelation on what to do with my employment, that can also affect the desires of where I live, my family that I'm supporting, various friends that I may not have time to spend with in the same way or more time to spend with them. Keep in mind that none of our desires are an island unto themselves, right? All of our desires are tied to other desires and other aspects of our lives. So one of the things we have to look at is, how does one desire that we have affect all of the other desires? And this is important because remember, in Kabbalah, the male represents the desire to bestow because he doesn't impose. It's a desire. And the feminine or the female represents the will to receive. So this Lehi has this desire, the Lehi in us, has this desire to bestow in multiple directions here, not just in ways that's going to affect him, but that will bestow to a whole family, a whole community of desires. But Lehi is also a parent. He's a father. And now we're about to make a small transition. In the Book of Mormon, in 116b RAV and 117a OPV, Nephi now says, "But I shall make an account of my proceedings in my days." This is a new desire. This is Nephi. Lehi hasn't gone anywhere. This desire of Nephi is born from the desire that is Lehi. Lehi wishes to bestow, and this desire to bestow has created a new desire to bestow. And with that, one of the things that this desire to bestow is doing is 17 RAV, 17 BOPV, "Behold, I make an abridgment of the record of my father upon the plates which I have made with mine own hands. Wherefore, after I have abridged the record of my father, then will I make an account of mine own life." Now remember, we talked about this earlier. Nephi is making a record of the proceedings of his days. That's Assia, the world of Assia. In the learning of the Jews and the language of the Egyptians, Yet Zetrish, he's making it with his own hand, Bria, and he's making it according to his knowledge, at Zuluth. So those are those four worlds, those four levels here. that the desire that is Nephi inside of us is going to use to teach us about this desire we know less about, which is Lehi. Everything we know about Lehi, we learn from Nephi. We only learn what he gives us. Because Lehi, we don't have his record. We're not getting anything straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So again, he says this. He's doing this upon the plates which he has made with his own hands. He's abridging the desires of Lehi to make an account of his own life. This is Lehi from Nephi's perspective. This is that desire to bestow. Remember Lehi's prayer. He's praying on behalf of his people. But now it's coming from Nephi's perspective. We see this in our own lives. We particularly see the opposite of this when we have a parent that tries to live through their children. Then we also have the children who they see what their parents are doing and start doing something similar. I remember my sister, she used to see my dad marking up his scriptures as he was studying. And so she would get her highlighters and color pencils, whatever, and just start coloring in scriptures. She didn't really know what she was doing, but she saw the desire that our father had, and she was mimicking it. As we get older, our desires mature, and then we're able to highlight the scriptures in our own way. We are about to see how Nephi interprets Lehi. But what is Nephi's desire here? In verse 18a, for both RAV and OPV, it says, "Therefore I would that ye should know that after Yahweh had shown so many marvelous things unto my father Lehi, yea, concerning the destruction of Jerusalem, behold, he went forth among the people and began to prophesy and to declare unto them concerning the things which he had both seen and heard." Have you ever wanted something? You have a desire in your heart, something that you want to do or to have or to understand, but then you have these other desires. They kind of say, "Hey, no, you don't want to do that." That's what's happening here. In verse 19, in both RAV and OPV, it says, "And it came to pass that the Jews did mock him because of the things which he testified of them. For he truly testified of their wickedness and their abominations." I can tell you, I've had experiences where I feel God telling me, "Hey, you should go do this thing." And then that voice of doubt comes in and says, "Oh, no, you can't do that. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're not smart enough. You're not worthy." You have that internal pressure. And it doesn't even have to be a religious thing. Learning to drive. First time I got behind the wheel of a car, I was afraid I was going to run over somebody. I had these nagging doubts mocking me. And we all go through this in various stages of our lives. It's normal. In verse 20 it says, "And he testified that the things which he saw and heard, and also the things which he read in the book, manifested plainly of the coming of a Messiah, and also the redemption of the world." That's how we know the difference between God and Satan when it comes to our desires. That which mocks us, that which insults us, that which puts us down and tells us we're not good enough, that we can't do it, those negative traits, that's the tempter. That's the adversary. But what does God tell us? God tells us there's hope. God tells us we can. God tells us that there's a Messiah and there's a redemption for us individually, personally. Jesus Christ is a personal Messiah. He is a personal God. Our God is a personal God. A scripture that we see a lot in the media and the world, and it's a great scripture, is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's a beautiful, beautiful scripture. Yet people leave off the verse after it, and it's just as beautiful. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That's not hellfire and brimstone. That's not, "You can't do it, you're not good enough." That's not, "Maybe sometime in the future." That's now. God didn't send Jesus to the earth when it was ready to be destroyed, to destroy it. It's been over 2,000 years. He sent a Savior because he knew that we were salvageable. He knew that you were worth saving, that you are good enough. And that's not something that I can say lightly or enough. But when the wicked desires in us hear these things, like Judea, they become angry with that Lehi inside of you, even as they did with the prophets of old. Who are the prophets of old? The Adam and Eve inside of you, the Enoch inside of you, the Abraham inside of you, the Isaac, the Jacob, the Noah. Lehi isn't our first desire. We grow through the desires in the Torah and get to Lehi. And what do these unrighteous desires want to do? They want to cast this Lehi out of us. Verse 22 RAV, 20b OPV, and they also sought his life that they might take it away. The unrighteous desires inside of us are known as egoism. They are our ego, capital E. The problem with ego and pride and sin, because they're all the same thing, is that ego can be fed eternally and never be full. Never. The only thing that can fill ego is to convert our egoistic desires to altruism. And that's what Lehi was trying to do here. He was trying to teach them that there is a Messiah. There is a redemption. There is a way to fill that endless void inside of us. And that is Jesus Christ. That is Yeshua HaMashiach. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, converts us. He changes us into something new, something better. That's why it's called being born again. Now, notice that the bad guys here, if you will, they are the people of Judea. They are the covenant people. I think that's very telling. When you look at Joseph Smith's story, he has this first vision. He is told not to join any of these churches. They're all fighting each other. They're all showing egoism. We're right. Everyone else is wrong. We can have righteous desires inside of us that pretend to be following the covenant. Desires that say, I am doing this good thing, and therefore, I'm right and you're wrong. We are right and they're wrong. Or worse, I'm more deserving, or we're more deserving. And then Lehi shows up and says, hey, who am I to judge another? We should be praying for everyone. We should love one another. We should come together in Christ. The Lehi inside of us puts aside these petty differences of theology and prays, even with all of his heart, in behalf of his people. And who are his people, the Lehi? Christians everywhere? Latter-day Saints in our entire movement? The people in our individual denominations? The people in our congregations? Are all of those the correct answer? I would say yes. All of these. One of my favorite questions in the Bible is when Cain asks God, am I my brother's keeper? And the reason why is because the answer is found in the law. The law is, love God, love your neighbor. God didn't need to answer Cain because he should have known. The answer is unequivocally yes. But there's that voice inside that wants to be right. It wants to hang on to that pride, to this concept of one true doctrine. But when we look at our theologies, we look at our different teachings and systems of belief in every movement, not just in the Latter-day Saint movement, in Christianity in general, they change over time. You take the people that started each denomination in the Latter-day Saint movement and you say, hey, Joseph Smith, take a look at all these different denominations that came from your church. Would he recognize them? Would he accept them? You take the different branches that came from Brigham Young's group. Are these different denominations today the same as what he put together? None of them are. How about Joseph Smith III? How about the Cutlerites? How about the Strangites? We grow, we change, we evolve. Line upon line, precept upon precept, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing. But we don't go back and say, hey, the people that started this denomination were wrong. We're the true church and they weren't. Well, if we're not going to do that, then why are we judging other denominations within our own movement? The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints out in Utah, the one that Brigham Young started, huge denomination. Started out very poor, not very wealthy. Started out with blood atonement, polygamy, I'm sorry, but racism. And now they condemn these things. That's not a bad thing. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Does that mean that their church isn't true because they're not the same church that Brigham Young started anymore? No. Does that mean that Brigham Young's denomination wasn't true because He did a bunch of stuff that they say is wrong now? No. So then how dare we say that they're wrong, or they say that we're wrong, or someone else is wrong, when we're all learning and growing line upon line, precept upon precept? We have to throw away our pride. We have to throw away our egoism. And we have to say, how can I love my neighbor more? How can we pour out our hearts on behalf of all of our people or peoples? It's the pride inside of us that seeks to take away the life of Lehi that says, let's love each other. Let's work together. Let's get along. Let's find the common ground. What do we have in common? Jesus Christ. What else do we have in common? The Book of Mormon. What else do we have in common? So many things. Don't let the Jews, the wicked Judea inside of us, don't let their anger and pride turn us against one another. And I want to tell you that there's hope. There's hope for each of us. For us personally, for our denominations, for us as a Latter-day Saint people. In verse 23 RAV and 20C OPV, behold, I, Nephi, will show unto you that the tender mercies of Yahweh are over all those whom he hath chosen, because of their faith, to make them mighty even unto the power of deliverance. We've been given a way out. We've been given a path to move away from the pride of the Jews, so that that Lehi inside of us does not get slain, so that the descendants of this desire, Nephi and his brothers, don't get slain. And notice what happens. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here, but it gets cut in half, right? You got Laman and Lemuel who take that pride, that egoism, and you have a Nephi and his people who go the other way. And what's really interesting is that if you continue reading the Book of Mormon, again, spoiler here, they trade places. Eventually the Lamanites become righteous, and the Nephites become wicked, and they join together. It kind of just moves around back and forth, and at certain points they're both wicked. And that's the way we are. Our desires kind of go back and forth. That's why we need the grace of Jesus Christ. The grace of Yeshua HaMashiach to help us work through all of this so that we can grow line by line, precept by precept. Now in chapter 1, verse 24, the RAV, chapter 2, verse 1a, in the OPV it says, for behold, it came to pass that Yahweh spake unto my father, yea, even in a dream, and said unto him, blessed art thou, Lehi, because of the things which thou hast done. Lehi doesn't win, but he does the best he can through the grace provided him. And that's what God expects of us, to do the best we can with the grace provided us. Then in 125 RAV 2:1b OPV, the Lord continues and says, and because thou hast been faithful and declared unto this people the things which I commanded thee, behold, they seek to take away thy life. And it came to pass that Yahweh gave unto my father Teshuvah, even in a dream, that he should take his family and depart into the wilderness. And that is what the Lord asks us to do. We're taught pride and egoism. It's a worldly trait. We have to move away from the world and into the wilderness so that we can grow closer to God by moving away from these unrighteous desires. It's not that we won't have them, but Laman and Lemuel are two people. They're not an entire nation of Judea. So Lehi and Nephi and Sam, and Jacob, and Joseph, and all their children won't be overwhelmed. By leaving these egoistic desires behind, this large clump of them, and focusing in the wilderness, we're able to divide the light from the darkness, set aside that egoism, and move in a more altruistic path. That is the point. That is the plan. In the 10th Psalm, King David says, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth pursue the poor. Then in verse 4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. So, two questions I'll leave you with this week. The first one is, where are you in this cycle of pride? What are you holding on to that is dividing your altruistic, godly desires hostage that you need to leave behind so that your Lehi and his family can escape into the wilderness. I use one example here, and that was the contention between the different denominations. This is a non-denominational podcast, and it breaks my heart to see us as a people not getting along, being somewhat contentious, thinking that one denomination is somehow above another, or that only one denomination among us can be correct, when we really all came from the same God. We all came from the same prophet. We just follow different prophets and apostles today. But we all follow the same Jesus Christ. But what is it for you? What is something inside of you that you need to leave behind to escape that egoism, to move closer to the godly altruism? What is it that whenever you try to move towards it, the people of Judea inside of you become angry and seek to take away the life of that desire? If you look inside yourself and you see something, that a desire that God has given you, that is righteous, that is good, that is wholesome, that testifies plainly of the Messiah and the redemption of you, of the world, then you know that is a desire you need to grab and take into the wilderness. The second question I have for you is, what is God telling you to do with it? What is God telling you to do about it? It may be a weak desire that needs nourishment, that needs encouragement, it needs to grow line upon line, precept upon precept. But whatever it is something that Yahweh has given to you in Teshuvah. It is part of your path back to God. Gather it. Gather the family of desires that surround it. And wherever God tells you to take it, get it there. Chapter 1, verse 27, RAV. Chapter 2, verse 3, OPV. And it came to pass that Lehi was obedient unto the word of Yahweh. Therefore he did as Yahweh commanded him. And it came to pass that he departed into the wilderness. Are you doing this with your righteous desires, particularly the ones that Satan is trying to overwhelm with egoism? We're going to talk about this more next week. Further on there in chapter 1 of RAV, in chapter 2 of OPV, Lehi and his family, they leave their house, their land of inheritance, their gold, the silver, the precious things of the world, and took nothing with them except for the family, the provisions, and the tents, and they depart to the wilderness. They go down by the borders near the shores of the Red Sea, the living waters. When God tells you to take these desires into the wilderness, he's not telling you to hide them somewhere where they can die in the desert. He's saying, take them to the living waters. Take them into the wilderness where there will be food for you to eat, to grow these desires in righteousness. What is the living water? It's Christ. Jesus is the living water, right? John 4:10. Jesus answers and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that said unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Inside you, there is the living water of Jesus Christ. Take your desire, that righteous desire the Lord has given you, depart to the wilderness, and set up your tent by the borders near the shore of the Red Sea. That is my message for you this week, and I leave it with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, lastly, as we wrap up here, as I said at the beginning, this is a labor of love, and it does require love to keep this labor moving. Please join us on our Facebook page. Be a part of the conversation. Write a review. Give us 5 stars if you think we're worthy. And if you can help out financially, please chip in at Patreon. Just go to our website, mormonkabbalah.com, and right there on the front page is a donate button. But most importantly, if you can't do anything else, join us on Facebook. Join the conversation. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your thoughts about these podcasts, how we can make them better, what we can do to help one another as saints grow closer to Jesus Christ, to Yeshua HaMashiach. So with that, I look forward to talking to you again next week. Shalom, and God bless.